Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
You can ask about blended families. You can ask about kids. You can ask about when to have kids. You can ask about money. What have you been, if you were thinking, you know, I wish I could sit down with Pastor David Nicole and talk about relationships, what would you ask? Go ahead and start sending that right now.
So here's the deal. We got some people because they knew about this already. So we got some people that, and we're doing this all weekend, by the way. Yeah. So we're answering different questions all the time. It says, can you speak into the importance of praying with each other or for each other? And how do you to pray together as a couple? And I think I'll start with that. Number one, you know, I think it's great if you pray together, but most of the time I pray alone. Nicole prays alone. We pray together a little bit, like we'll pray for a moment over a prayer of agreement. The Bible says where any two of you on earth is touching anything, would ask the Father in the name of Jesus, He'd give it to you. So we do that. But a lot of times our private prayer time, I just get uncomfortable praying with her. She gets probably uncomfortable praying with me because, you know, first of all, how many of you know you got to repent for all the dumb stuff you did to your wife? You can't totally be honest in prayer when you're praying with somebody.
But when we have big stuff.
Yeah, we do.
You know, if we're believing God for a house or a car or a healing, or maybe there's somebody close to us who's sick or has a need, then he'll be like, Nicole, we got to pray. Or I'll grab him and say, we got to pray together. We might get a text that somebody's got an urgent need. So we'll pray the prayer of agreement. So prayer of agreement, that's Matthew 18, 18 and 19. And that is where we come together. Actually, go ahead and turn in your Bible or look it up on your phone if you've sent your text already. Go ahead and pull up Matthew 18, 18 and 19 on your phone. And be praying for our multimedia people, because speaking of the prayer of agreement, they don't know what scriptures we're getting ready to tell you because we're in a conversation. Well, thank you, honey. Wow. Ding, 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 ding. Somebody just get some points. Was that vodka or water?
It's real water. We don't drink. But however, we could pray and turn it into wine, perhaps. I don't know.
It says, I say to you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth. Well, that's the Amplified. Let me go with the King James. Verily I say to you, whatever you say shall be bound on earth, shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you say shall be loosed on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. Again, if I say to you that any two of you shall agree. Mm-hmm. Now that other person, it doesn't have to be your spouse. Doesn't have to be your husband. It can be your grandma. It can be your best friend. It can be your iConnect group. If you don't have an iConnect group, go sign up for one, get in Growth Track. But it can be a friend. But if whatever two of you pray on earth, touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. So I remember we used to write up contracts and agreements back in the day. I think one of the first ones we did was about a car.
Yeah. So that we take that scripture and we'd actually make a contract out. Say we've had trouble before selling houses. And so we would like write it out, you know, whatever he asked the Father in the name of Jesus, he'd give it to us. And we'd say, we're going to sell this particular house on this particular date for this particular amount of money. And we'd sign it. Then Jesus gives us the power of authority, because it says whatever we declare and forbid here, He declares and forbid there. So we'd sign our own names, and then we'd sign the name of Jesus, and we'd date that contract. And then we'd do what the Word says, because when you are, remember the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? That's why it's important that you don't marry a project. Come on, somebody ought to say amen to that right there. I'm going to get him saved. Probably not. I'm going to get her saved. Probably not. There's galvation.
Ooh.
And then there's salvation. Come on, somebody. So I've seen guys get saved, go to church, act right, but they weren't right. So if you really are wanting to marry the right person, so you don't have that 50% ratio, 50% of all marriages end in a divorce. By the way, besides that, 20% on top of those second marriages, they fail as well, because it's not grounded on the Word. So one of the things me and Nicole still do to this day, we will not fight. And we have intense times of fellowship for a moment. But then we get right back in and we'll say, you know what?
This goes to a question that just came in. It said, who should apologize first in an argument, especially when I know I'm not wrong? I know he has a lot of practice in apologizing when he's not wrong, so I'm going to let him take this question.
Yeah, well, I will answer that, but first I want to say what the Bible said. The Bible said the servant of the Lord must not strive. So if me and Nicole get out of the will of God, right, and we're fighting with each other, the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't go to bed mad. Mm-hmm. If you go to bed mad, you're probably not going to wake up glad, mm-hmm, and the enemy keeps working all night, and it'll stop the harvest that you need. Right. So for us, it takes about $250,000 a week to run this ministry. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't take me but about 2 days to get back in love with Nicole, because I know we're going to go broke, and I don't want to go broke. I don't want to run our lives. So, and I don't want to give place to the devil, because the Bible says when you give place to the devil, right, he comes to do what? To steal, to kill, and destroy. So immediately, the best policy, and this works because your prayers are hindered when you get in strife, but it also is just a better way to live. So I'll just go to Nicole and say, hey, you know what? I was mean earlier. I was too sharp. I was too upset. And then she speaks into my life. She told me some stuff a couple times a day. She calms me down because I'm a choleric. If you haven't been to Growth Track, you should. And you kind of figure out who you are. So she'll tell me, hey, you need to calm down there, whatnot. And that helps, because when I was younger, I'd get mad like, who are you, my mother? But how many of y'all know a wise person receives counsel? Come on, raise your hand, even if you don't agree with this. This is the Bible. So,
well, and that's one of the things. The longer that you're married, you get to know somebody better. So you should be better at being married. We're better at being married now than we were 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And we're better 10 years ago than we were 10 years before that. Because back
we've been married 20, y'all. She's been doing 20. Come on, so give it up for Nicole. Living with me for 20 years.
So I remember back, way back at the beginning, I remember one time we were dating. There was one fight, it kind of erupted, it was dumb, and like we almost stopped dating like right then.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And we made it through that, and we still reference that time, and whenever we disagree, it's like we don't want that anymore. So we've learned. So if you're dating, how many people right now, if you're single, say me?
So, raise your hand so you can spot each other. You might want to go
okay,
to dinner.
Look around. You're cute.
I remember when I was single, I wanted to know who it is.
Keep your hand up if you see somebody cute. Go, make sure you get a cup of coffee or a hot cocoa after service.
Now,
you know?
What guy's in here single and has a job? That's my next question, because I'm the dad of a lot of these girls out here. Okay, I got you.
But that's the one thing I can encourage you to do, like, faster. If we had done this faster, I think it would have been better for us. Is to really work on getting to know the other person. Because it's easy to figure out what ticks people off, but it's harder to figure out what makes people tick.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to press the hot buttons. When somebody makes us mad, oh, well, really? You're going to bring up the fact that I'm 9 feet tall? Well, let's just talk about your insufficiencies right now. And we just come back, right? But it even says in the Bible, do not return railing for railing.
Yeah.
And that is so hard. But 20 years in, you start figuring out it's a lot easier to bite your tongue than to worry about divorce. Or figure out, you know, okay, I just took 3 scoops down into a hole, and I don't know how long it's going to take me to fill that hole back up.
Mm-hmm.
So really, one thing I can encourage you to do is really work on getting to know your person better. Because I know we do the love languages. So one of the things we do in Growth Track is the personality profiles, so you learn about you. But if you haven't done a love language iConnect,
which is the book right here.
Oh my gosh.
Even if you don't do it, you need to read it. It'll change, for real, I'm not overpromising, it'll change your life.
Mm-hmm. It changes even the way I think about things, because what is your love language?
Well, I kind of like physical touch after 10 o'clock.
Baby, you like words physical touch before 10 o'clock.
Well, I'm just saying, really, after 10.
OPS,
I was looking at time now.
If you have littles in the room,
yeah,
this is a grown-up message. It's a grown-up talk.
So. Some of these questions are technically sexting as I'm reading.
So now might be a really great time to introduce your littles to Faith Kids. Unless you want to have conversations after. But anyway, the love language is, you can't fill up somebody else's love tank the way you want to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big thing for me to learn, because I'm not words of affirmation. I'm acts of service. And so I would go around a lot of times half ticked off at David. You look half ticked off right now.
That's my resting face.
I would go around so many times half ticked off at him because he wouldn't help. And that was my love language was, would you please just help me? I have so much to do. I'm working so hard and you're sitting on the couch. And I didn't feel it. And yet I would gripe at him instead of filling up his love tank by saying, thank you for helping. It's so important to me. You do such a good job loading the dishwasher.
You get what you brag on. I think the scripture too I want to go to is Mark 3, verse 24. It says, if a kingdom divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. And if a house is divided, split into factions and rebellion against itself, that house will not be able to last. So I think that what she's saying here just totally lines up with that, that you can't be divided amongst yourself. Just be very, communication is the name of the game. Just like a second ago, she said, hey, you kind of look like you're ticked off right now. I didn't realize that. Now I started smiling because some of y'all know nobody wants to look at a ticked off guy, right? So you want to look happy. So that's communication's everything. How you communicate, especially when you're younger, and it depends on the person's personality. Again, the five love language, when you find out the temperament, like my dad was a choleric, that was the main thing. I think I'm choleric, but I'm real high sanguine as well. So that means I can get stuff done. I can make something happen. I can lead an organization, but I'll be like, hey, we're going to change the world. But first, where did I put my car keys? Because I don't know. Okay. But my dad was like choleric. And those guys are the kind of dudes that are like, you can't tell them anything. And so you have to know that about yourself. If you're a choleric, you got to go, hang on, before I speak, I'm going to calm down. Mm-hmm. And so learning how to communicate, that's the name of the game. And we've talked about it in previous stuff. You can look up on YouTube as well. Communication, sex, and money. We had a love fern sermon about watering the love fern. We've done balancing your marriage. We've done a lot because we know that marriage is so important. We also know that you finding the right person is so important. And then also being the right person. Because I think sometimes we just pick people for the wrong reason. You're like, oh, he looks good, but is he good? Or she looks good. And you got to make sure that the person, sure, you got to be attracted to them. But at the same time, beauty's only skin deep. How many of you know, but ugly is to the bone. If somebody's mean and they're like, that's not good. So that'll just divide. Somebody said in here a second ago, you know, if we're in a dating relationship and things get difficult, we're actually thinking about counseling in a relationship before we get married.
You know, if you need counseling now, you're going to need a divorce attorney later. Because what you don't like about a person before you're married, you're going to hate about them after you are married. Like if the fact that they...
I feel like she's throwing a little dig at me right now. I'm just telling you, just a little.
Slightly annoys you. After 20 years of that, you're going to be like, will you choke if I give you the whole sandwich in one bite? So you just have to know, you know, you want to look for that person who you feel completes you, who you feel draws the best out of you. So if you're in counseling in a dating relationship, they're probably supposed to be your friend.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to spend that much time together that you get on each other's nerves. And just think about it. Whatever time you're getting to spend together right now, you're getting ready to spend a bunch more time together. And if that scares you and makes you sweat, just take a step back and relax. And the other part, it might be timing. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the timing in your relationship right now is just there's too much going on with school or work or life or kids, and it's got you too much on edge, so you're not comfortable being the real you just yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe once life calms down or you get into a new season of God or they get into a new season of God, maybe in a year or two you will get better.
I don't think you get in a hurry, too. A lot of times I see people, they're like, oh my gosh, I got to get married. You know, I was married and got divorced and now, you know, my biological clock is ticking. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I'm 19. Like, hey, chill. But then the same thing happened. I say that just to get the reaction. But the fact is, people that think, hey, you know, I got to get married now. Or, you know, I've got to do this now. If I don't, I'll never have kids. God's got more than one way of bringing a family into your life. I mean, we celebrated Christmas yesterday with Austin. If you follow us on Instagram, you'll see I'm hugging him and loving him. He wasn't my son. I didn't get him until I was 7. But it doesn't make it any less real, the love that I have for him, the love he has for me. So God's got more than one way. I mean, I don't know why you had to, like, change baby diapers and go through the terrible twos. But the Lord loved me and gave me him when it was all done. Come on, somebody. And so we embrace each other. So blended family is an important part of that aspect as well.
Well, and who in here has kids and love their kids? Say a nice, strong amen.
Amen. That's half of them.
Who in here has kids and loves their kids and can attest to the fact that kids never made your marriage easier? So if you're worried about having kids, or if we hear this sometimes, well, we're having trouble in the marriage, so what we're going to do is have a baby.
Come on, somebody. Get a puppy. You can always put that bad boy on Craigslist. Come on, somebody. But a kid, you're stuck with this dude.
If you are slightly miffed at your man, don't get on the labor table because you will want to kill him. You're like, what did you do to me? And why did you do this to me? And then you go through an entire year of not sleeping. So you're at your worst for a year. So if the relationship isn't solid, kids are what you add to the relationship after you're rock solid.
Right, right, right.
In the best point of your relationship. If your relationship is shaky at all, press pause on that. Because there's one thing that I'm thankful of is, see, David's just a better man than I am.
I hope so, because you're not a man. No, I'm
just kidding.
Okay. She's better, being nice here, trust
better
me.
Better person than I am, because I had a son, and he's had to deal with my son's biological father, and he's done a great job. He made him his friend. He didn't make him an enemy. He did his best to make him comfortable. He did his best to give him compliments when Austin was around instead of, you know, putting down the other guy. He did his best, especially in front of Austin's dad, to build up the other guy. And David was married before, and he didn't have any kids. And I just say, bless God, because I'd probably gone to jail for assault. I mean, I just don't know how I would have handled that or if I would have handled it well. And I think a lot of times God doesn't give you what you know you're not, he knows you're not going to be good at.
I think, too, though, that was the weird spot sometimes. You know, what we're doing right now is not necessarily breaking down Bible scriptures. We could give you a load of those, and certainly can. But what the Bible says is wisdom is the principal thing. Mm-hmm. So I know it was weird sometimes because Austin, it had to be weird for him. Because he would call me Papa when his dad went around. And then if his dad would come around, he would call me Dave. And we never really talked about it, but I would notice the switch. And when he first did it, I'm like, oh, okay. But I had to get over that real quick because it's like, 20 years ago or whatever, 19 years ago. And then as that went on, I finally ended up telling him, I said, hey, listen, because I thought he might be uncomfortable because I could sense it. So I would just always communicated with him. And I said, Austin, listen, I understand you have the coolest life in the world. You've got a dad that's unbelievable. I know nothing about sports. Your dad is a sports expert, okay? I can teach you how to flip houses. I can teach you how to do this and that and the other. But you're so blessed. You have two dads. I mean, you got two great dads. So, of course, I love when you call me Papa. I love you when your mama calls me Big Daddy. But I'm just telling you that when he comes around, you can just call me Dave. And that broke the ice. So when he would see me, after that conversation was over, because there was this awkward conversation. I always felt uncomfortable disciplining him as well. Or at least that's what I blamed it on.
Feel uncomfortable disciplining your daughter too.
Yeah. So I guess that doesn't hold up well.
They just don't need it much. That surprises you, really? No.
I'm a softie. I talk big, but my bite's not that aggressive.
Hey, they have a question about sex.
Oh, okay. I'm sure that'll make Ashton happy.
I figured that I would.
We were kissing today for a minute. We took the dog because she's right there. And so the dog's like really like
fluffy.
Put
the dog in front of our faces.
So we really kiss him for a second. She's like, really, guys, I'm right here. I'm like, we got a privacy fence of this puppy. So we'll just make it really uncomfortable.
So, but they used a lot better word. They said intimacy. How do you maintain intimacy with your spouse on a spiritual level, which I'm not really sure what that means, after having children? The intimacy to most men means sex. And you have to be married for 20 years. I will just tell you, men are happier when they have sex. Men, amen?
This is your time, boys. Don't look at your wife like...
If you want her to know, just say amen.
Come
right
on,
now,
it's time to communicate. Say amen. Trust me, that's the way guys are, though. You got to understand, people also sometimes guys feel weird, or women make guys feel weird sometimes about sex. God made men want to have relational intimacy with women, and the reason why, because he knew to have you here. How many of y'all are glad you're born right now?
Yeah.
But if it hadn't been the most fun thing in the world, your dad would have never done it. He never took out the trash. He never did you guys don't do that, but God made it incredible so that guys would want to recreate, so procreate. So that's part of the reason why it's in there. So never feel weird about that. Also, on the intimacy side of things, I think I understand what the lady's saying is like, I think on the spiritual intimacy, is that it is... Sometimes women, I've noticed this over the years, Christian women can drive men away if guys typically aren't as spiritual as women, okay? They're more, my dad always told me this. He said, women will always be more spiritually sensitive than men because they're just that way. Girls are more sensitive. Guys are not sensitive. In fact, a lot of marriage problems stem from girls trying to make guys too sensitive. I wish he just thought like me. I wish he just understood me. Well, then he would be your girlfriend, and it would be weird. This is a man. Come on, somebody ought to go. You got a man. Now, we're going to work on him being more sensitive. That's what we're saying right now. But you cannot expect him to be a girl. So keeping that balance. So sometimes I think women put too much pressure on guys spiritually. Like, you're supposed to be the spiritual head of this house. Why don't you pray? Why don't you do this? And that drives him away. Mm. And now, especially with pornography, back in the day, you had to pay for porn and water was free. But now it's in reverse. So I'm seeing the enemy come in and ruin intimacy, which intimacy really, if you break it down, is into me see. So now the woman won't allow you to see what's in her heart, and you're wondering why, and it might be that you're offended or he's offended, and that's why the Bible said a brother offended is harder to be one than a walled city. So you got to get those fences down and say, you know what, I forgive you, you're a guy, that's the way it is. Nicole forgives me all the time just for being a guy. She's like, you're a guy, that's just the way you think. That's a guy, that's the way you think. I mean, when we first got married, she came over to my house, I owned a house, and she came over, and my cabinets looked clean, my countertops looked clean, but if you move, she went to move the sugar, and it was like,
it wouldn't come off the counter. I clean that kitchen right then. Day on pause.
So again, guys and girls think differently. So in that intimacy thing, I think hopefully we answered that. I'm not sure.
Well, in men, you know, the average couple spends 4 minutes a day alone in some type of meaningful conversation or affection. And affection to a guy and affection to a girl are two different things. And I'm trying to think of the right 8-letter word to use in place of this one. But guys, to women, the best precursor, there's a good word. The best precursor to a time of intimacy is affection. If you want to get her interested in sex, because sex to guy is like eating. So my girlfriends, I mean, really, they want to do it every single day or they think they're going to die.
You guys look so scared. I mean, just be vocal. Hey, and listen, keep going. I love what you're saying, but I want to pause here. Communicate before you get married.
Yeah.
Especially if you've been married before. I see guys all the time at prenuptials, and you'll see some of these rich guys marrying younger girls, which is totally, you know, that's whatever. She didn't went there. That's one of Nicole's pet peeves. But I see it at prenuptials. They talk about, you know, what is the relationship going to be. So I think it's very important right up front. Mm-hmm. If you don't like sex, tell the guy, I really don't like sex. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he might say, hey, I don't either. Or,
No, he won't.
Possibly.
But when we understand, as you can see, our relationship is really open.
Like, and we're this way with our kids, too. We talk about all this stuff with them. Because if you don't think your kids know about sex or hear about sex, they're hearing it from school, okay? So they need to, if you hear it from school, you'll be a fool. If you hear it from church, that'll change their life. They'll get proper balance if they hear it here and in front of you. So we talk about all that.
Well, and that's one reason we purposefully kiss in front of our kids is because we want to model for them that a good, healthy relationship. Now, we don't walk around in front of our kids naked or anything weird, you know.
Whoa, that was wild. I am not sitting straight across from Ashton tomorrow because I'm seeing her like, my God, I'm dying.
Well, you know, and we don't sit and put our tongues down each other's throats in front of our kids. But it's healthy for our kids to know that mom and dad love each other. It's healthy for them to know that we're comfortable with each other. It's healthy for them to grow up knowing that parents are supposed to have a physical relationship. Right. And then we communicate to her, you know, this is what a marriage relationship looks like. This kind of relationship can't happen correctly outside of marriage. If you have a relationship outside of marriage, you actually mess your marriage up. Because you bring, most of the time, we don't get it right. How many of you are not married to the person that you dated at 15? Raise your hand. So we go through several people as we're finding that right mate. And if we slept with every one of them, we would be bringing a ton of soul ties into the relationship. Now, you know, I was married before I had Austin. I was married before I got to David. I had my fair share of baggage coming into the relationship. He was married before. He had his fair share of baggage coming into the relationship. But with God, everybody say with God. So we started dating, and on our very first date, he went to kiss me, and I said, hold up, bucko. I just want to let you know I am celibate. And I am going to be celibate until I get married.
I said, when do you want to get married?
6 months later, we were married, by the way. But I just told him right up front, I said, if you took me out tonight because you thought this is how I paid for dinner, you're confused, right? And I'm sorry if I misled you, and I just want to make that obvious for you right now. And so I set it up because I didn't want to screw this relationship up. I saw something in him that I wanted to pursue, and he was a godly man, and he was after God. So that's something that I wanted to keep right. So in order to get my chances with him really good, I had to make sure that I, like, kept myself cool, and we were out with other people, and we didn't set ourselves up to be alone, and we put these hedges in place in our relationship so that I could actually get it right one time in a row.
Come on, give it up for Jesus and his word. Now, Colossians 3, verse 19, it says, married men, Colossians 3, 19, they may or may not have this, married men, be affectionate towards your wives. And do not treat them harshly. That's what Paul said. Be affectionate toward your wife. If a guy isn't affectionate while you're dating, don't expect it when you're mating. So be affectionate. If the guy's just like, make sure a guy's smart. I tell my daughter this. I tell my daughters at the house. I told Dre this when she was thinking about marrying Daniel. I told Morgan this when she's thinking about marrying, Billy. I said, hey, here's the way this rolls. If you want Billy to cook, make him cook now. If you want Billy to vacuum the house, Billy's vacuuming the house now. And I tell that to my daughter. If you want, someday when you go to get married, if the guy's rude, he's going to amp that up 10 times. So how is he going to be affectionate towards you when he's not affectionate now? I really think that it's important to open a door for the girl when you're dating her. I think it's important to open the door for the girl 20 years later when you're still dating her. Because if you're ravished with your bride, if you're in love with your wife, then automatically those walls go down. So then when you need what it is she said you needed earlier, well, then you've actually got money in the bank. Because if not, women feel devalued. They feel like that's the only thing you want from me. And so for them, it's totally different wiring than a guy. And I think I might have sent a picture. I don't know. I may not have. But I had a guide to a woman's logic. I sent a picture. And what men understand about women, they may put it up there. So there it is. So those are two different things, right? So women are wired different than men are. And so until the guy, most of the relationship books, 98% of books that are read about relationship are read by women, 98%. Because men don't really put much thought into it. My dad never read about a book about relationship. Therefore, I only saw what was modeled in his relationship. And just because somebody's been married for 20 years or 50 years doesn't mean that they know how to be married. They might have been told through, you know, growing up that, you know, you go to hell for that. They might have thought it would ruin their relationship for that. There's a million reasons why. But if you're going to do life together, church is the place that you get it, so you can get information and get wisdom so you can enjoy your life. Because we only have so many Christmases left. I don't know how many you've got left. But make sure you're with the people that you love, and make sure you love the people that you're with.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody ought to say amen to that.
Amen.
Be affectionate.
And we're about out of time, but here's a great question that just came in. How is it possible to be honest with my significant other, as I promised to be, when I know the answer that they want is going to hurt them or upset them? And if somebody asked me that question over coffee, I would encourage that person to be honest. The first three rules of public relations, which was one of the things I majored in college, was tell it all, tell it fast, and tell the truth. Those are some of our early conversations were about our history. Austin and Morgan, when they first started dating.
Real talk.
Hashtag real talk. They asked all the hard questions before they officially started dating. What's your history? Who have you been with? How long were you with them? Why'd you break up with them? Who have you been physical with? They asked all the hard questions right away, because the longer you tote this around, it's a secret. And now you're afraid that the secret is going to get out. And the crazy thing is, secrets have a way of getting out. So it's a lot better the Bible says to tell the truth in love. You know, we have no idea what the question is, if it's about an indiscretion or about your past, or, you know, they might be saying, hey, should I go get my hairline filled in, or should I get one of my curves made different? And you are passionate about the yes, but don't know how to break it to them. tell the truth in love, but tell the truth, because what will happen is something will pop up on Facebook or a friend will have a conversation, and now they're going to feel like you weren't honest with them, and they're going to feel like you can't trust them. So I would just encourage you, but I'm a person, I hate to be lied to. So I probably, you might have a little different view, but my thing is tell it all. Tell it fast. If you tell it all, there's nothing left to tell. There's nothing left for them to find out. Tell it fast. Don't give all the gory details. Tell what needs to be told and tell the truth. That way, nothing else is ever going to crop up.
You know, I think, too, that when people realize that you're on the same side, that changes everything. When you're, sometimes a girl will marry a guy, think, I'm going to change him. The guy's thinking, I'm never going to change. And you got this going forever. So I think the best way, really, truly, going back to when you go through Growth Track, connect with God, you start talking to God, and the Holy Spirit will tell you all the time. He'll just tell me, don't do that. You're talking too much. You were rude. You need to change that. Anybody in here ever just wake up some days and you don't know why you're mad? You're just mad. I want to see who you are. Like, I'm just mad. And somebody asks you, what's wrong? You're like, I don't know. I just woke up mad. I'm mad. Have you ever been going through the day and you were happy, but then something set you off and now you're mad? So now you go home and you're mad at work. But now you go home to the people that you love, and you're mad at them.
Yeah.
You wouldn't vent at work because you're like, I'm a professional at work. But I go home, and that's where I just grunt. I'm articulate on a stage, but when I get home, no. You need to communicate. And when you communicate with love, realize that you're on the same side. It also makes you better corporately because, you know, and we do this with our family as we kind of wrap this up. As I said, I think and this is why you got to marry the right person. And then right now you might be sitting here today going, man, I wish to God my significant other could hear this. They're not a Christ follower. One, some of you that are not married know that's a problem. Don't make that mistake. Somebody said up here, you know, my other person wants to go to the other church. If you feel you're called here and you feel like this is your church, or, you know, I don't know where they're from, but if you feel like that's where God called you, then if you're what you compromise to keep, you'll lose. So some people say, I can just go to his church. So he's Catholic, he's Baptist, he's Presbyterian. Listen, I was what I am when Nicole married me, and that's when our real talks were happening. I said, hey, I'm not a horse, I'm a zebra. So I look like a horse, but I'm not really a horse. In other words, I am a zebra. You can't change my stripes. So I'm not really doing what I'm called to do right now, but someday I'm going to do this. And I told her what we were going to do. And by God, we did it. But at the time, I wasn't doing what I'm doing now, which is really kind of cool because we built together. So I don't have to worry. So many of my friends that are successful are like, I wonder if she's marrying me because you know, I didn't marry her because of, and she didn't marry me because of. We just did it together, and that's fun. But knowing that the person is really for you and they love God and they're called to the church. Because a church is not someplace that you go because, well, this is close to home. That is the dumbest reason in the world. That's like marrying somebody because she went to your school, okay? There's a big, big thing called the internet, okay? And so you can get people globally around the world. So you can't find the church of your choice. You go where the Lord called you to go, and they either come with you or they don't. And if you start compromising now, you'll compromise later. So you got to be real about all that stuff. So when our family talks, and we do that, and I want to encourage you to do that. One, if your husband or wife doesn't come here, you just keep doing right because it's right, and eventually they will be, the Bible says, they will be won over by your good behavior. So, you know, I know some people here that they've prayed for years for their husband to get saved, and he didn't show any signs of changing, and then one day he just did because he kept testing her to see if she really was going to stay true to what God's called her to be or him to be. So do that. Then back to, if in an ideal situation like ours, all our family is together, and we talk about everything. So we're so open, sometimes even in meetings, like our executive team was meeting the other day, and so you got our teams in Florida, people are on Skype, and somebody had something to say that's not a family member, and they had something that they had said that bugged them or something about a decision I had made. They had said that to Austin and some other people, so Austin so knows that I'm so open to correction that he said, oh, so-and-so, tell PD what you said. And the person said, I don't think it's the time or the place to tell. And so I knew that the person was really nervous, so I diffused it right away, didn't I? I made sure that this wasn't happening, that resting face that I get sometimes. Oh, yeah, you got something to say? You know, your annual review is coming up soon. But no, it's not. So I make sure your body language is down, and I go, no, let's just say it.
I want everybody to know they could say anything, anytime. And what they had to say was really very trite. It wasn't a big deal at all. I said, oh, man, I'm sorry. That's not what I wanted. Because I never want to be a leader, and you never want to be a dad, and you never want to be a boss. You never want to be a person who knows it all. You want to be alert at all. And so having your hands down, saying, hey, talk to me. I need to know. Then here's what it does. It doesn't make people disrespect you. It makes people respect you. And then the culture in your home and the culture corporately is one that everybody's open, because everybody respects each other. Nobody was, you can't be like, I've seen this with preachers. There's a preacher I'm thinking of right now that his family like totally punks him on social media. And I'm like, I would kill you guys. Just so you know, I'd kill you. Anybody had parents that almost whipped you for something some other kid did? If you ever did, let me show you what I would do if you talked to me like that. Come on. So it's just, but my whole family, it's never a problem. They're like, I just can't believe that. Because we all honor each other. We all respect each other. Are we perfect? No. Do we get mad at each other? Do we get angry? Yeah. But Austin, a couple days ago, we had some kind of meeting going before a meeting. We have a lot of those. And Austin said, hey, I don't see it your way. Here's what, and I didn't get, sometimes I'll say, hey, you know, I'm totally wrong there, or I'll say, hey, here's the reason why we got to do that. Because there has to be, as we close, a head of the house, okay? So that's the reason why you got to be right with the Lord as the head of the house. Mm-hmm. You can't be like, hey, yeah, I'm the head of this house. Well, you're not praying. You're not going to church. You're not tithing. You're mean. So if to be the head, you have to qualify as the head, which is to love your wife as God loved the church, and God died for the church, and you won't do the dishes for your wife? I knew we'd get quiet there, but I'm just going to sit. So we earn that right to be the head, okay? And then being the head is not something like, I'm the head of this house. Most of the guys that say that are pretty stupid. It's like, first of all, you never ever want to say that anyway. It's just unwise. I always make jokes like, you know, I'm the head of our house, but Nicole's the neck. You know? But, so you never want to be that kind of person, because you're not trying to be the head. You're not trying. You just do what you do, and your family will follow you. As you honor the Lord, and then the devil comes, just remember, the temptation is for you not to go to church. We have 2,400 seats in here tonight. There's probably less than 500 people here. Where are 2,000 people at? Well, they were here at Christmas, but that's why their lives are jacked up. They see us and they go, oh, my life's screwed up. We're getting ready to get a divorce. Go to church. I'll see you next year. Oh, our money's messed up. We're jacked up. Can you please pray for me? When's the last time you went to church? Last Easter? Okay, no, we can't pray for you. And obviously, I'm joking. We do pray for them. We pray, God, please give them a brain and make them understand that they have to go to church. You said in your word, God, that you'd forsake the assemblies of yourself together. When the evil day approaches, do it all the more. God, you said that it's better to be in the house of God one day than spend 1,000 elsewhere. God, you said if any man lack wisdom, God, I sense that right now. God, you would give it to them liberally. So I pray prayers scripturally just to slap you upside the head. So don't. If you don't go to church, you won't grow, okay?
Right.
So you got to go to church, and then you grow in church.
Right.
That's why the Bible says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Somebody ought to give God praise. That went fast.
And I know we're over, but I just want to spend
it's
one
Saturday
second.
Night.
If you can. It's Saturday night. Is it okay if I do 2 minutes?
Raise your hand. 2 minutes. It's Saturday night. That's
two,
see,
four, six,
tomorrow
eight, 10, 12,
on Sunday, we're going to be running like 26 minutes. That's why you guys come here.
It's going to be hard tomorrow. But since he brought up submission and men being the head of the house, sometimes as a woman that can feel like a pill to swallow, and sometimes that pill feels like one of those vitamins that you're like, you want me to swallow what? because who does not like being told what to do? Right? So nobody really likes being told what to do. And that's the first thing that jumps to a woman's mind is, you want me to submit, like what? I have to do everything he tells me to do. And that isn't what submission means. But submission isn't submitting until you have to truly submit. Well, what is submitting? It's doing what you do not want to do with the attitude as if it was your idea to do it in the first place. And so it doesn't boil down to that often. But a marriage relationship isn't 99-1, it's 51-49. But it's that 1% of the time when, ladies, it's our job to trust the head of our house and know that he's leading us the right way. And I'd say probably as often as maybe once a week, but we work together and live together. And when you work together and living together,
my
it's
God.
Like dog years of marriage. We've been married 20 years, but it's like 140. Because it's probably at least once a week that he said, well, that's what I want to do. So that's the way it's going. And I know the course has been set. It's clear. Sometimes he says...
And I want to pause there and say, if you're a dingbat and you've done dumb move after dumb move after... So when she said, hey, this is what I want to do. It's not like, this is what I want to do and I'm going to do it.
And I'm going to spend all our money or put us in bankruptcy or put us at financial risk
not
or hurt
that.
Our kids or make an unhealthy decision or start dating a woman or, you know, I'm going to have that cute secretary anyway or... You know,
it's just stupid. So you earn it. See what I'm saying, guys? You earn it. See what I'm saying, girls? You earn it. So it's easier the more track record you have. So leading this organization, not bragging, but we've done a great job, made a lot of right decisions. So when we're doing that, we have some equity. So I go, okay, I feel like we're supposed to start a church in Florida, and everybody went for it. And I said, I feel like God's telling us to start a church in the Ferguson, Florida area. It's going to cost us a lot of money. It's going to be this, that, and the other. But nobody was scared. Everybody knew, hey, this is the way he feels like the Lord's leading us, and be able to say you miss it. Okay,
yeah.
I obviously we're way over on time.
Because I want to do one more thing on submission. As a woman, that can be hard. A hard thing to really just reconcile in your mind is when you're single, your word is the final authority. So, you know, in Ecclesiastes 3, it says there's a time for sowing and a time for reaping. There's a time to be single. Enjoy that time.
Yeah.
But here's one really cool thing about David, because I told you, he'll say something as strong, maybe even once a week, as, well, that's the decision I made, so that's the way we're going. Sometimes he says it nice, sometimes he says it strong. But the Bible also says, submit yourselves one to another.
Right.
And that's where the 51:49, if he makes a decision, he allows me to speak into it. So it's rare, and I know I said once a week, but we probably make 1,000 decisions a week. So one out of 1,000 decision, he'll pull
easy.
A trump card out and say, I think we need to go this way. And actually, he has to probably tell me 3 different times and 3 nice ways that I've probably missed before he pulls that card.
And I always try to lead not by saying this is the way we're going. Even with the employees, I don't say Adrian works for me, Drew works for me. I say, when I introduce him, I go, hey, Drew's one of the guys I work with. See what I'm saying? You always want to make people, this will make you a better leader. I don't say, hey, this is the way I try to make it other people's idea. And then I also capitulate all the time. I'll ask her today, I sent a voice text, and I said, hey, I'm getting ready to leave a voice text. Before I hit a send on this, just see if I'm too hard. Because I knew I was mad. I knew that it was erroneous information, and I knew that it was stupid. I shouldn't be dealing with this. But I also knew that the devil tries to get me aggravated and upset before I preach. So I said, hey, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I said, hey, is that okay? And she said, what did you say?
I said, man, I'd have been harder than that.
So I hit sin. But you never want to be that person who's out of control. Does that make sense, guys?
I don't know. We're like way over.
I know, but it's Saturday night. Trust me, these people don't care. That's why they come on Saturday night, because it's buck wild. How many of y'all got time for another? I got one that's important.
Okay.
Hey, Nicole, I want you to answer this one probably. How do you rebuild trust after a spouse has an affair? That's a big one.
That's a fair question. I went through rebuilding trust several times in my last marriage, and every time it was broken, but that's not the way it works out all the time. There is actually somebody on staff who has shared their testimony on television, on the big screens. They were married. They got divorced. He had a child with another person out of wedlock. They are married again, and they've been married again, I don't know, for like 8 years or something like that. And they're really happy. And they actually, this other child that has now been brought beautifully into their family, I was talking to this person the other day, and they told me, I actually don't know what we would do if we didn't have this child in our family. This child brings us so much joy.
Right.
So you can go back into the relationship. It is possible to forgive, and I can't say forget, because it's always somewhere in your memory, but it is possible to truly forgive and to not forget but release.
And one of the things I noticed that people have done successfully is they've always held themselves really accountable. So they're like, hey, here's my phone. Anytime you want to look at it, look at it. I don't have 2 phones. I don't have any phones. I got 1 phone. None of my devices have anything on it that she can't check. My kids, I'm talking my daughter-in-law, she checks my phone. Everybody checks my phone. Mm-hmm. Not even suspicious. I'm just not nervous. So just don't be nervous. Just be like, hey, whatever I said, I'm said. Because we've seen stuff politically recently come out. It's just you never, you know, at the end of the day, most of the time you don't get by with stuff. Mm-hmm. It's better just to come out with it, as she said, tell it.
Tell it fast.
Tell it fast and tell the truth.
Boom. So in a relationship, hold yourself accountable. And then if you are the person who was betrayed, the enemy always tries to bring that up. Mm-hmm. So Nicole's always advised people, and I've noticed her over the years, when some of you, I'm thinking right now of a couple, and she's like, I just don't know if I can forgive him, and so now I don't want to have a relationship with him. Then mm-hmm. she said,
oh, that's the biggest way to get in trouble. So if you have been with an unfaithful spouse and they are repentant, which is not you want to get back with them because you like the house, which is not you want to get back with them because you don't want to get a job, which is not you want to get back with them because you don't know how to explain it to the kids and that you're pretty sure they're going to remain unfaithful. If that person is repentant, they're sorry, they got themselves in a bad way. The best way to make sure somebody does not cheat on you today, you know what that is? Have sex with them before they leave the house.
That's what she told the lady. I remember when she told this to one lady one time, and I can see a lot of people don't agree with this, but you got wrong information because you're getting it from the world.
Okay? Right.
So, I mean, right now we have offers by NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox for an ungodly amount of money to do this right here every day, 1 hour a day, every day on all those networks. In fact, they just re-signed. Yesterday they were harassing us, talking to the biggest in the business. Because what's working...
Yeah.
For our constituency, it really does work because it's the word. Mm-hmm. Jerry Springer, Dr. Phil, nothing against those guys. Well, Jerry, maybe. But a lot of these shows, if you ever get an invitation to go on there, don't, okay?
Right.
But these programs, they're giving you worldly philosophy and worldly advice. And so you're hearing the world more than you're hearing the word.
Right.
So what Nicole gave was the word. And the word says, when a brother offends you, if they do it 490 times a day, forgive them as your father has forgiven you. So if you forgive them and you do what she said to do, that woman came back. She said, oh my gosh, I never had any more trouble out of him. Years and years later, mm-hmm. he was just on the straight and narrow. We actually went out to eat with him and I said, how you guys doing? He's like, oh my God, I'm exhausted, man. I don't know what in the world. I just know I went to the right church. I can tell you that right now. That's what he was saying. And I mean, guys, again, don't think, I don't want guys to feel bad for needing to have sex.
That's right.
Don't feel bad. You got to communicate. I will tell her. I'll be like, hey, you get busy, you get tired. And I hate to ask this. Sometimes I've been too tired to have sex, but I knew I needed to have sex. And she was patient with me while I tried to have sex. And I know this is, we won't have time for that. This is what happens when you guys push me to go 17 minutes over. I start saying junk on Saturday night that I'll lay in bed tonight thinking about, why did I say that? Saturday night, I don't know what your deal is. But we'll communicate.
Because sometimes you need a half time.
She said, sometimes you need half time. I've got up and had a drink of water. She's like, hey, you know, do what you got to do. What's wrong with God?
No, but this keeps people healthy, right? This keeps relationships. And that's the thing. I don't get embarrassed talking about this stuff because we can share something, you know, of course, rated PG at worst, but if we can share something that keeps somebody else from going through the pain of divorce, have it. Have it all. Have
because if you don't have the conversation
know,
with each other now, you're going to have the conversation with somebody else because the next person has all the same problems, maybe different problems. At least she knows my deal. Mm-hmm. At least I know her deal.
Right.
I mean, and by the way, as we're closing,
you keep
I want to just
that.
Dig deeper. Relationship, as we're speaking of right now, only gets better mm-hmm. when you know each other. Mm-hmm. I'll say something. She'll be like something. I don't know. I don't even know what conversation I'm making now, but just different stuff. She'd be like, hey, you know that girl over there? Yeah, that girl? See that girl? I'm like, yeah, it's pretty. She's pretty, isn't she? You don't want to lie because then you ruin your reputation. You're like, no, I don't think so. Just tell her, yeah, I did see her. She was pretty. She goes, just so you know, she's probably... She doesn't know what I know. That girl, it'd take 20 years to get somebody to know what I know. You know what I know? Like, I know what you know.
I'm just here to tell you, the longer you know somebody, the longer you know somebody.
I dropped the mic, Drew. How many of y'all enjoying this so far? How many of y'all feel like you need to go? Raise your hand if you need to go.
To the bathroom. No, I'm teasing.
I know why he needs to go. He's got ideas. I can see it in his eye right now. I've known him a long time.
We probably should go, though. We should probably
We really
go.
Do need to go.
We need to go.
Let's stand up. Let's pray. Obviously, tomorrow, pray to God we can do this in 28 minutes because I think this is really helping people. How many of y'all glad you go to a church that can help you in all these areas?
And let's just pray right now for every marriage that's here.
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead. I think y'all are grabbing hands. Let's do it anyway. Just kind of go across the aisles even and hold each other's hands for a minute. And you online as well. Number one, know this, that God loves you.
Yes.
That the Lord can restore anything.
He sure can.
Chances are if you jump from this relationship to another, you'll be surprised there too. It's better just to stay and work on it. Yeah. And to love each other with the love of the Lord. And then make sure you know if you're just worried, man, I got to hurry up and get married. If it's God today, it's God tomorrow.
Right.
You don't have to be in a hurry to have kids. You don't have to be in a hurry. God will give you everything. He said, no good thing would he withhold to them that walk uprightly.
That's right.
God, I just pray right now for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every child that goes to Faith Church this weekend. But they're hearing information that will make them have more wisdom to make right choices. So that the divorce rate will not be the same at our church.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, we're free from divorce.
Yes.
Because we walk in love.
Thank you.
And it's hard to get a divorce when you're walking in love. God, we forgive everybody. We even forgive ourselves.
Thank you.
Some of you, you just almost despise yourself because you've done that thing. And you're holding it against you. And you can't love other people if you don't love yourself. So you have to forgive you. Say this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
I forgive everybody.
I forgive everybody.
Of everything.
And everything.
They've ever done to me.
They've ever done to me.
I release them right now.
I release them right now.
I forgive them.
I forgive.
Count it not a wrong done.
Count it not a wrong done.
No big deal.
No big deal.
You've forgiven me.
You've
forgiven me. The big debt.
The big debt.
So I forgive everyone else.
So I forgive everyone.
Of all these little debts.
Of all these little debts.
And while I'm at it.
While I'm at it.
I forgive myself. I'm no longer going to continue making myself pay
for a moment in time,
a bad decision. The rest of my life is going to be the best of my life
because I'm blessed.
I'm favored.
I'm anointed.
I'm qualified.
I'm led
by the power and the presence of God. I decree and declare right now that good things are happening to me. I'm meeting all the right people, making all the right decisions. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand as you check out this testimony.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.